Lord, let your name be praised throughout all the earth, as it will be one day. We bless you, Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Lord, we confess today, Jesus is Lord. We admit and acknowledge gladly that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll bless us as we look again to see you in action while you were here on earth as we read your word. Speak into our lives and our hearts this morning. And help us, Lord, to hear the voice of the living Master. Oh, Lord, bless us, we pray. Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The mission. Right. We're going to look at a part of the Gospels that's only found in Luke's Gospel. It's a special bit that Luke includes, which the other Gospels don't. And there's probably a good reason why the Holy Spirit chose Luke to give us this piece. Because Luke gives us a clue in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, which says... Do you know what it says? Well, we'll find out. Right. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says this, before we read the passage. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So, Luke is saying that I'm showing you how it started, how it developed, and where it's going on to, right? So it's part of his plan to show us how it works and how the gospel moved out. Well, this section in Luke's gospel is about how it started with the 12, we've seen that already, but it moves on to now to another number, a larger number of disciples, sending them out on mission. Okay? So it's growing. That's the point that Luke's getting at. So let's have a look at Luke chapter 10 and verses 1 to 24. Says something like this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse, or a bag, or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcome, heed what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
Amen.
So reads God's word. Well, let's have a look at it bit by bit, shall we, as we go through it. Next one then, the mission. After this, the Lord appointed 72. Some of your versions will say 70. Have you got 70?
Yes.
Some of them. Others say 72. It's very hard to pick between those, because some of the very old manuscripts have 70, and some of the very old manuscripts have 72. Whatever it was, there were at least 70. Right, we've got that, right? And some say it might be 70 because Moses appointed 70 elders. Right, so Jesus appoints 70 missionaries. Possible. It could be 72 because Jesus had 12 disciples, and the multiple of 12 is 72. Right, so, I mean, you take your pick, you pays your choice, or whatever, you pays your money, you takes your choice. Whatever it was, Jesus chose these 72 disciples, right, who've been trained, and sent them ahead, two by two, ahead of them. Why the two by two? So they support each other, right, so it's fellowship, you know, we're working in this together, it's not a long range of business, we're working together, right? And he sent two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So who were they? They were disciples, right? And where did he send them? Right. To every town and place where he was about to go. Well, I put a map up there just to explain where he's going. Jesus, remember, had been, we've just seen this, he was up at Caesarea Philippi for the Transfiguration. Right? He then speaks to his disciples in the Galilee, that was his ministry in the Galilee. He'd been in Samaria, he was in Galilee, he tried to go down, he's going to Judea. Jesus is now going to Jerusalem. We said that, didn't we?
Yeah.
He's heading towards Jerusalem to die. So he was at the Mount of Transfiguration, he's heading towards Jerusalem. He wanted to go through Samaria, but when he got to Samaria, what did they say? We don't want you here. Right? So, which direction Jesus is taking is going across the Jordan and going through this area called Perea. Right? This is the outside area where Jesus is ministering. So it's into this area that Jesus is going. Right? That's where he sent them. And he says he sent them ahead in every town where he was about to go. So that's what's happening. It's towards the last 6 months of Jesus' ministry. Last 6 months means it's urgent. Jesus has to get the message out to people before he goes to the cross. Okay, so there's a pressure on, so he sends out all these missionaries, we could call them, to these different towns, and the intention is, and this is what missionaries are for, this is what you are for, right? You go to let people know before Jesus arrives, because when Jesus arrives, he can take over. You stand back and let him do what he wants. That's great, eh? Wonderful. So that was their job, right? So that's what they were to do. Next then, please. Right, so here we've got a bunch of missionaries with their family. They've gone off somewhere. I don't know who they are. I just picked up the picture, I put in missionary, and that's what I found. Right? Okay. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into his harvest field. Right. Wow. We'll see the rest of it in a moment. But Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. Jesus said that on at least three occasions. He said it when he was in Samaria, and he said it when he was in Galilee, right? And when he was in Samaria, you can read it in John's Gospel, chapter 4, it's the woman at the well story, remember? Right? And Jesus says to his disciples, you say 6 months in the harvest, but I tell you, look out and see, the harvest is already ready for gathering in. It's plentiful, but the workers are few, right? What's Jesus talking about? He's not talking about the harvest. He's talking about gathering people into the kingdom of God. But the point Jesus said in Samaria was, you say 6 months. We've got work to do. We've got to dig. We've got to plough. We've got to sow. All that sort of stuff. Jesus says, it's now's the time. Now's the time. It's that urgent. Tell them. tell them they need to know now. So that's one of the things. The other thing that's interesting about this is that those three areas where Jesus said the harvest was plentiful were the three areas that if you were in Jerusalem, they would have said, don't bother. Because the Galileans, as far as the people in Judea were concerned, the Galileans were a bunch of fanatic nutters. Right? Religious hotbots. That's where all the revolutionaries came from. So, don't bother the Galilee. In fact, can you remember when someone said to one of the Jesus disciples-to-be that his name is Jesus from Nazareth? And the man says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? That was the attitude. Galilee, write them off. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. Right? When people write others off, Jesus is ready to take them off. And then, what about Samaria? Well, we know what Samaria was as far as the people in the south. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. That's what the woman said. She knew it. She'd had it. Okay, so they wrote off Samaria. And what about Perea, that area where Jesus is just sending the disciples now? What do you think about that? You've not heard about Perea before, have you?
No.
No. Neither have they. Perea, as far as Judea was concerned, is nowhere, man. Yeah? You know, don't bother about them, they're not important. Yeah? It's not very highly populated and, well, they're just a bunch of roughs, you know. Don't bother about them. When Jesus hears people being written off, he says, that's the place I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that lovely? So friends, don't judge books by their covers. That's all I can say, right? There may be some very potential people that you think aren't worth bothering with. Jesus says, that's the ones I'm after. Right. So that's where they're going, to the harvest field of Jesus. No, yeah, wait, too fast, you know. Yeah, fingers would go off, yeah? Right. So he says, pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So he says to his disciples, right, look, there's a tremendous need. I want you to pray about it. Great, yeah? So you pray. And then what does Jesus say? Right, your answer to your prayer. Is that good?
Yes.
You're the answer to your prayer sometimes. How about that?
Yes.
Pray, and then Jesus says, go. Yes. Yes. Right? Good, isn't it? Yes. Right. Have you ever thought, have you ever been there? You know, you pray about something, the Lord says, okay, then do it. So he said to them, pray, and go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. So that's a nice thing to think about. Lambs amongst wolves is a dangerous game, right?
Yes.
But, what's important? We're going out into a world that's hostile, brothers and sisters. If you didn't know it, you'll find out when you get out there. Right? But, when Jesus sends you, he's promised to be with you. Right? So, if he says go, I tell you this. I heard this said by some dear brother in the Middle East. He says, you know, the safest place on earth is at the centre of God's will. Wherever that might be. In a war zone, anywhere else. The safest place on earth for the Christian is in the centre of God's will. Doesn't mean to say you won't have troubles, but the Lord will be with you. So go! I'm sending you like lambs amongst wolves, right? He says, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals. Right? A purse. What's the purse for?
Money.
For money. What's the bag for?
Food.
Right? Sandals are to keep you going, for you, to keep, you know. Right? So he says, don't take any resources with you. It's too soon. You know, it's urgent. You've got to move, right? Don't take anything with you, but... So what's Jesus forcing them to do? To rely on him. That the Lord will provide in some wonderful ways. Lovely example of that. I heard from Doreen this morning. She was telling me, in Cambridge, there was a bomb scare and the buses were all cancelled, weren't they? So Doreen prays like mad about transport because it's too far to walk to the station. And this man in a bus turned up and took Doreen as the single passenger to the station.
Oh, wow.
I said, if the Lord had sent the fiery chariot, he couldn't have done any better, could he?
She was the shining angel.
There you are, the Lord provides. So, no resources? Well, if you've got the Lord, you'd be surprised what the Lord can use. That's all I can say, right? So, don't take all that. And this is, and do not greet anyone on the road. Well, you need to understand Middle Eastern customs with that, but I can give you a perfect illustration of that if you go to Tesco's. Right? What happens is, if you've got, and this happened to me on Friday, I had to get the shopping and then get back to take Jean to hospital. Right? So I had a time slot. Right? They had to fit in. I couldn't go too far, see, but outside it. Yeah? So you get to Tesco's, and what do you pray? when you get to Tesco's and you've got a business, you pray you don't meet anybody. Because I love meeting people, right? But if you meet somebody in Tesco's, it's not a short shop. Right? That's exactly what was the case in the Middle East. And when you met somebody on the road, it wasn't, hello there, how are you doing? Good day, cheerio. No. You've got to ask them how their uncle is and their father and all that sort of stuff. It's serious conversation. Jesus says, you're not being rude, but you've got to keep moving. Right? Don't greet anyone on the road. You've got a job to do. Don't get distracted. That's important. It really is. Yes. Right. Next one, please. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. Shalom. Aleichem. Right? That's what you say. Right? So, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Right, so you bless somebody, and if they're the grumpy old so-and-so, don't worry. Yeah, you're okay. It's them that's got the problem. Yes? So, bless this place that you do when you go there, right? And the interesting thing is that people actually welcome. They're sociable people. You know? In that society, if you knocked on someone's door, they might ask you to come in. Right, if you do that nowadays, probably throw water over you or something. Yeah? But anyway, they did that. Right, and then he says, stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages, and do not move around from house to house. Really strategic, this, in the terms of building the kingdom. You'll see it multiplied time and again in Acts of the Apostles. But this is where it started. Jesus says, go to a place, be a blessing to them, and they'll support you. And you have to receive gratefully what you've been given because you're working. You're a worker, right? Don't think you're sponging. You're working. You better make sure you work, if Almighty will, right? You're working for the kingdom and for the king, right? And then, basically, what you've done is you've got there, you've established the base. And do you know what that base is going to become in Acts? A church. Right? That's how God did it. Right? So this is the method that Jesus shows them what to do. Establish a base. Next step, please. Right, so here's the mission program. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. So this is their mission. That's what they've got to do. They've got to, when they get to the town and they're welcomed, so they've got to bless somebody, they're welcomed, eat what is offered to you. What's that mean? Be grateful. Don't be picky. Right? Now, some have said that means that Jesus is saying you can eat non-kosher. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying there.
No.
Right? Because later on in Acts, Peter, who was one of these, when he was shown all these different kinds of food to eat, he says, Lord, I've never tasted anything non-kosher in my life. And he was there at that time, so I don't think it means non-kosher. But what does it mean? It's ordinary food that's not served up the way you like it. Right?
Fish and chips in a newspaper.
Fish and chips in a newspaper, whatever it is. Don't be picky. You have to be grateful. Right? Thank God for what he gives you. Right. Okay? That's one. So, eat what's offered to you. Heal the sick. Well, you've got to minister to people, right? Bless them. Ask the Lord to minister their grace to them. Heal them. And tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Well, if they get healed, they should really feel that, wouldn't they? The kingdom of God is... But when Jesus says the kingdom of God is near you, it's not really... You know, the kingdom of God is near. It's not what he means. It means it's here. When Jesus is there, the kingdom's there. Right? So the kingdom of God is here. That's what they're saying. Right? And when it's here, it means you have to get into it quick. Right? The urgency about it. The kingdom of God's here. Don't miss the opportunity. Right. So that's their message. So that's what they've got to do and give it away. Right. Next step, please. Here we are. I've got some nice dirty feet for you. When you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come here. Right? So it's a serious matter. Jesus is saying, is, you know, there are some places where they may not want to receive you. Right? But it's a serious, well, we can't light it off, Terps, you never know. Let me just offer you this. When I became a minister here 30 odd years ago, at my induction service, the local minister, good man, he said about March, he said, it's an unpromising situation.
Yeah.
Every place is an unpromising situation unless the Lord's there. Yeah? Right, so, but if the Lord comes, and he has, hasn't he, over the years?
Yeah.
He's still capable by his Spirit to do that. But anyway, he says it's a serious matter. If you reject, this is not a game we're playing, if you reject, that's serious. He says, what you've got to do is wipe the dust off your feet as a warning to them and a way for you to be able to cope with rejection. Right? You've done what you could. That's all you can do. And I want to just offer you this as a bit of an encouragement. When you meet somebody who doesn't want to know about Jesus and you try telling them and they just don't want to know, don't get into a panic. Yeah? Just leave it, pray about it. You never know what little seed the Lord may have planted that may take years and years eventually for them to think, you know, they were right. But it's long since gone since they, you saw that. But there you are, you can sow the seeds, cope with rejection. But be sure of this, the kingdom's here. God's at work. And it's important that people respond to that. One more, next picture please. Terrible, terrible this. Jesus makes it quite clear though. The fate of those who reject, rejectors. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Why is that? Why? I mean, Sodom was destroyed by fire and brimstone because of their immorality, wasn't it? Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. But it'd be worse, worse for the towns that reject the message that's coming now. Why? You know, the people in Sodom never heard the gospel. Right? And therefore, they're judged for their sins. Right? But the people in the towns where Jesus comes up, they're judged for their sins, but they're also judged for rejecting the light. Sin against light is a lot worse than sinning in the dark. And then he says, woe to you, Chorazin. That's one of the towns in that area, in the that Perea area. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Right? For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon. So this is back where the previous missions had been, yes? Woe to you, he says, if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. See, what he's saying is, I've shown you so much, I've given you so much opportunity, and you've turned your blind eyes towards it, you are in big trouble. It's awful to think that, isn't it, really? Yeah? But you know, if people reject the light, they're in bigger trouble than somebody who's never heard. Right? And then he says, if Tyre and Sidon had had half of what you've had, they'd have responded. Well, it's about time somebody went to Tyre and Sidon and told them, isn't it? Yeah.
Because so those people have had, would they have got teaching from anywhere at all? Would they know what they were rejecting?
Yeah. In Chorazin? Yeah. Yes, because Jesus was there. That was his mission in those places. Bethsaida was on the Galilee where Jesus ministered for 3 years. So they got plenty of chance to hear and respond. Yeah? And this one, it will be more tolerable and bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Got news for you? Did you know this? There's a judgment coming. Right? That's, the world doesn't know it, doesn't believe it. You know? No judgment, no God. This is it. That's all there is. Problem. Jesus says there's a judgment coming. And he means it, and it's true. He knows what he's talking about. Do you know why? Because he's going to be the judge. Right. And he says, and you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you'll go down to Hades. Now, where's Capernaum? Do you know? It's up north somewhere. Good. Capernaum was the base that Jesus worked from in Galilee. Right? They saw everything that Jesus did. You know, they've been blessed so much. And yet, many of them, Jesus said about, you know, a prophet's not welcome in his own town. Right? They thought, we know him. He's just Jesus of Nazareth. That's all he is, you know. He's not God's son. He's not the Messiah. And they rejected him. He says, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No. Where are they heading for? Hades. That's the word that Jesus used. Well, he doesn't use that word. I'm sure Jesus used another word, Sheol. Is the Hebrew word for it, yeah? Hades. What's Hades? Well, we'll come to it a little bit more. Hades can be divided into two parts. It means the abode of the dead. It can mean that. But in their understanding, we'll get to this later on in Luke, yeah? It's divided into two halves. Place for the good ones, and place for the wicked. Which bit do you think Capernaum's heading for? The wicked place, yes. It's hell, in other words, it will be hell. It's not the final state of hell, because I'll have to deal with that later on, won't I? Next then, please. Right. the nature of their authority. Whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. So Jesus is saying, this is the line of authority. Father sent me, I'm sending you, and if they don't respond to you, they're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting me, and they're rejecting Father. That's big trouble. Right. That's what Jesus is saying. He who sent me, I'm sending you. Whoever listens, brilliant. That's good. But because that takes the... If you're sharing the gospel, that takes the responsibility off your shoulders. When you share what Jesus has told you, all you're doing is saying, this is what Jesus says, you can argue with him about it. Right? It's not my gospel, it's his gospel. Right? And if you argue with Jesus about it, you're going to have to face Father. Right. You won't win, that's for sure. Right, okay. And then he says, the 72, or the 70, returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Well, they weren't told to go out casting demons, but when they got so fired up blessing people, the demons had it as well. Good, eh? So they return praising the Lord and saying, wow, Lord, it's fantastic, we really... How about that? Would you like to go on a mission where you come back full of joy? See, it's not all doom and gloom, brothers and sisters. It isn't. Right? I know there's some miserable jerks out there that don't want to hear, poor souls. But there are some, surprisingly, that we want to hear and understand and believe. Because you were one of them. And what God can do for you, he can do for others as well. Amen. Right, so they came back rejoicing. Wonderful. Wow, Lord. Wow, we've got so much blessing. We exercise that authority you gave us, so much power. Wonderful. Next, please. Big one, this one. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Wow, how about that? Yes. Well, when Jesus sent them out, what did he see in the... Because they were looking in the natural, physical realm. What did Jesus see in the supernatural realm? He saw Satan's kingdom being smashed. Right? Satan's authority and power is being knocked down. Every time you do something for the Lord, every time the Lord blesses somebody, Satan gets one more in his coffin. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah? Jesus says, I saw him, his kingdom being demolished as we're going on and serving him. Satan will fall like lightning, he has fallen like lightning, and we know he's going to finish up, don't we? Right? He's still active, but he's being diminished all the time. And he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Right. We ought to have brought a few in just to do a test for you. You see? So what's he mean? Does he mean going over snakes and scorpions? No. What's he mean? He means to face all the nasty opposition. That's the idea of what he's giving. Of course, it was true in the physical realm when he talked about picking up snakes later on, yeah? Right? But you don't go around picking up snakes for the fun of it. That's what I'm getting at, yeah? Right? But snakes, scorpions and all these others are really representative of the hassle and the opposition that you face. And Jesus says, don't be frightened. Don't let them think they've won. I'm winning. Right? I've given you a power to overcome over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Is that true? If Jesus says it, it's true. Yes? But how did he mean it?
Ultimately.
Ultimately, right? You can get hurt in the process, you know. People do, don't they? Right? But the ultimate is, can you lose Jesus' grace and blessing? Where are you going to finish up? In glory. So, whatever they do, you can't lose. Right? So, ultimately, they can't harm you, although they can hurt you. Right? But thank the Lord, he helps us in that as well. Right, so there's the promise. Next, please. The most important thing, he says, but don't get all souped up because you have so much power in working through you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. A bit of a caution to the disciples. You can get carried away with the ministry and forget what the really important thing is, that God loves you and he saved you. And your name's written in the book of life. That's the most important thing. And don't let what you do make you realize, make you forget. The central thing is God's been gracious to you. Right? You didn't write your name in the book, he did it for you. Right? So just remember, whatever you're doing, It's service. Right? I'll just say it again very simply. The gospel is, you don't earn God's forgiveness. God forgives you, and then you can work for him. You've got that the right way around. Carts and horses in the right direction. You do not earn God's salvation. It's free. He gives it. You receive it. But when you've received it, then you can work for him. Right. There are rewards. Praise the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? So, be rejoicing that your names are written in heaven. I'm forgiven. Do you go around singing, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven? Good, good. If you don't know it, learn it. You're good. Next, please. How about this now then? Jesus talks to Father here. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was what you were pleased to do. That shows you there's something going on behind the scenes. That God's at work in some amazing way. And it says, Jesus, full of joy. Did you know Jesus was full of joy? Yeah. And where did the joy come from? I didn't say Father there, though. Well, Holy Spirit. If you want to have the joy of the Lord, what do you need then? The Holy Spirit. He's the one who fires us up. Praise his name. Right? So Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, says, I thank you, Lord, that you've hidden these from the wise and the learned. What does he mean by the wise and the learned? Smart people. So he's got to get smart people. Sorry? Well, it could be. Yes, the priests. Let me... Basically, if I was writing this out, I think what Jesus meant is the wise and the learned we would put in inverted commas. It's them that think they're wise and think they're smart. Yeah? Right? God's not against you using your brains. He gave them to you and he expects you to use them, right? And he's not against you learning things. He expects you to use what you've been given, right? So he's not against wisdom and he's not against teaching. But he's against those idiots who are educated idiots, I call them. I've met a few in my time, but you might think I'm one as well, yeah? Yeah, right? They're so full of themselves. They won't listen to anybody else, won't learn from anybody else. Right? Jesus says, Father, I thank you, you've hidden it from the clever clogs, and you've revealed it to, what's he say? Little children. What does he mean by little children? What does he mean? He means people who are like children, who are willing to learn and receive and accept. Right? If that's your attitude, you're going to get blessed. Right? And he says, yes, Father, for this was what you were pleased to do. That's the plan. Father has chosen that those who think they're smart will find out they're not as smart as they thought they were. And those who think they're stupid will discover, God bless the stupid people. It's good, isn't it? I'm so glad. It's good, you know. It's good. There's room for us all in that one, isn't there? Well, I'm saying you're stupid, by the way. Okay, next please. Now, this next verse, this verse that Jesus gives here, is astounding. Yeah? This is your theology in a nutshell. Right? Jesus says, who he is, yeah. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now that might sound a bit complicated, and it is in some ways. It's incredibly deep. Yeah. What is Jesus saying? He says, everything's been given to me by my Father. Jesus is the one through whom the Father's will is brought to pass. Yeah. He's been commissioned to do it. Right? So when you read in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Amen. Jesus is the Word speaking, and he's the one the Father's entrusted to do the stuff. Right? All things have been committed to me by my Father. What's Jesus claiming to be? God! Right? He's running the show for God. He's behaving as God behaves, right? Right? That's one thing. But the next thing really does nail it for us. He says, no one knows who the Son is except the Father. Right? Who knows what Jesus really is? It takes God to know God. Yeah? Nobody knows who Jesus really, really, in all that he is, except the Father. Right? You can get to know him a bit by the work of the Holy Spirit and genuinely know him. Right? But to know Jesus is in entirety, to know God is a bit too much for our little brains to cope with. Right? No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son. Right? Well, it would be quite simple, but God knows everything. The Father does, yeah? But Jesus says, I know everything. I know the Father. Yeah? That's astounding, isn't it? Not many of can say that. In fact, only Jesus can say that. Now, the next thing is quite remarkable. No one knows who the Father is except the Son. So I know who my Father is. And nobody else knows except those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Which says this. How can you get to know God? It's got to be through Jesus showing you.
Yes.
If you want to find out who God is, what God's like, what he thinks, the way he works, go to Jesus. He'll reveal it to you. He's the only one who can reveal the Father. Peter says it later on. It is appointed to men. No other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. Because Jesus is the only way. Is that arrogant?
No.
He sounds it, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? To claim that. If it weren't true, it would be arrogance. But if it's true, it's true. And it is true. If you want to really know who God is and what he's like, the Messiah Jesus is the one to find out
through.
Yeah?
It would be true, there is, isn't there? It's a the difference between eternal life.
Yes.
And just
our presence to him. Yes. So, Jesus is the unique holder of all things. Everything given to him by the Father. He has a unique relationship with God. He and the Father are one. Right? And he's the unique revealer of truth of God. He's the one who shows us who God is. Right? Next, please. Then Jesus, having spoken to the Father, now talks to his disciples. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Would you love to walk the Galilee with Jesus, or go on the road with Jesus, and see him, speaking and hearing the things that he said? Well, you've got it. Because it's in the book. You can walk the Galilee and see Jesus and hear Jesus as you read his words. There's a lovely bit John shared with me the other day. If you want to hear God's voice, what should you do? Read the Bible. If you want to hear God's voice audibly, what should you do? Read it out loud. That's good, isn't it? Oh, I mean, God speaks in other ways as well. That's good, I like that. Yeah? Okay, so, Jesus is saying is, you know, what you're experiencing to these disciples, you know, you're really blessed for what you can see and what you've experienced, because I'm telling you, there are many kings, David, Hezekiah, Solomon, they talked about the coming kingdom, and these guys are seeing the kingdom in front of them, right? And they hear words from the Master himself, and wow, and he says, you know, all of those wanted to hear it, but they didn't. You're blessed. Peter, in his letter, writes this, you know, he says, in the past, God spoke in all sorts of different ways, and he says that he spoke to the prophets, and they all wanted to really search out what it was all about, because the prophets were told prophecy, and they were in the same place as we are. What does it mean? And he says, it was revealed to them that they weren't just serving themselves and the generation they were with, but us as well. That we are the ones that have got the blessing. So I put that, it's their privilege and ours. Yeah? I know we're going to see Jesus. That's good. I'm looking forward to that. Yes? Right? That'll be wonderful. But friends, when you open the book and you ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you, Jesus is there. Yeah? And he's willing and able to minister his love and his grace to you and his encouragements. Right? So, you know, are you going to be thankful in the future? I'm sure you are. Yes. Right, next, last one, I think. Yes. So I'll round it up with this. Can you read those words? Right. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. There we have some harvesters for you. Yes. Right. Right. It looks like an Asian harvesting field there, doesn't it? Yes. But the harvest is plentiful. Well, you're going to need to see with God's eyes, because if you look out there, all you can see is desolation. Right? People that don't want to know, times that are hard, places that are tough, you, that's all you see. But Jesus says the harvest is plenty.
Amen.
Right? And right up to the end of time, Jesus is gathering people in. And you can be part of the gathering, harvesting process. But he says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Oh Lord, send them out, especially him, her and them. Right? Is that right? Well, you pray for your friends and the missionaries. Yes. Lord, send them out, but I encourage you to this. Yeah? You may not be into a big harvest field. It may be your family. It may be your neighbours. It may be the people you meet at work or whatever. Right? But ask the Lord to give you the opportunity. I'm not saying go around bashing people on the heads with Bibles and anything else like that. But friends, there are opportunities. There are people out there. And I just want to share with you, in closing, just one example of this. It's not any glory to me at all. Jean and I went to Adam Brooks on Friday. And I prayed in the morning, Lord, what do you do, you know, opportunities. I can help someone, bless someone. Yeah? Well, while we were sitting there, Jean had gone off to see, to get weighed and things like that, and this lady came out from the consultation, and she looked worried. She says, well, I'm no further forward than I was when I went in. I says, what's the matter, my love? She says, well, I've got to make a decision about a very, very serious, risky operation, and I don't know what to do. And I said to her, have you prayed about it? She says, oh, I have prayed. I've prayed a lot, she says. But God's made this, God's done this to me. I said, what's that, my love? She says, I was born with a birth defect. My stomach is next to my lungs and my heart. Right? And she's, they only found out only a few years ago, apparently. She's managed to cope so far. And I said to her, well, God knows and God cares. And he's able to help you. Right, and I'll pray the Lord will bless you. Yeah? And I just thought, the Lord gave me one question to ask her. Because she was worried about what to do. She was on vaccine counsellors and things like this. And the question she asked was, shall I have the operation or not? Because it's a dangerous one, by the sounds of it. And I asked her the question, I says, what will it be if they don't do anything? What's the alternative? She said, I don't know. They haven't told me that. I said, well, you need to find that out so you can make a proper balance of where you're coming from. If you've had it for 45 years, which is what she said she had, if you've had it for 45 years, you might live another 45 with it. Yeah. Are they wanting to mess things around? I don't know what the answer was. But I really did feel the Lord was giving me something to help her to make some wise choice and get a bit of the fear out of it for her. And, well, I don't know her name, don't even know the lady. But, you know, God gives you opportunity. That's a bit of the harvest, dear friends. I don't know what will come of it. None of us do, but brother and sister, you're there to be a blessing to people. Right? And if God can use you, well, God will. Yeah? And the harvest is plentiful. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. So I'm praying the Lord will use you a lot while I'm at home with my feet up. Maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah. You've got the idea, though. Well, we're working for the Master. The kingdom of God is near. It's coming soon as well. So let's serve him with the best we can. Because Jesus says it's plentiful. We need his wisdom and his insight to do it. Yeah? Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for your wonderful grace, your great mercy, and your... Oh, Jesus. Lord, there's so much need, and we see all the wrong ways of seeing it, Lord. And you saw the people who were rejected, ignored, written off, and saw them as a harvest field. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the source of life, the authority in which we stand and serve. Bless us and use us, Lord. Lord, we offer ourselves to be available to you. Lord, we do pray you will raise up workers, and as it please you, help us to play our part in that as well. What a great privilege to be a servant of the King of Kings. Lord, thank you for revealing, Father, to us that we can know God, and we can know the joy of the Holy Spirit. Bless us and help us, we pray. Lord, use us for your glory. May you have the praise, Lord, that best of all, even when we're used and when you bless and use us, thank you, Lord. The bottom line is we can rejoice that our names have been written in the book of life because of your grace to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Amen.